When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Bluey, and I'm on the DJ Diaries with the Lalas.
Welcome back to the DJ Diaries with Lara Pradelska and Lara Fraser. Today, we have the one, the only, Mr. DJ Bluey in the studio. Woo!
What's up? What's up? I just want to introduce Bluey a little bit more before he goes into his quickfire questions. Bluey is not only an amazing DJ at some of your favorite clubs, he tours with some of the biggest names out there. He's been on tour with Akon and many, many more, which we're going to find out about in a moment. But before we go into anything, we're going to do a little bit of a quickfire question. Well, quickfire session, even.
Quickfire session. I do want to say that Bluey flew in last night from?
Malta.
What time did you come in?
I got in at like 3 a.m.
Okay, so here's your first quickfire. Did you sleep?
I slept on the plane.
Because you look fire. You look so good. You look a little bit too good to have been. Yeah, you look amazing. I mean, amazing.
Quick one, guys. Do you sometimes feel like when you don't sleep and you show up to the job, you look better? Or is it always better to get the 2 hours in?
I try to always get the 2 hours in, man, because I'm like a baby when it comes to sleep. Like, I need it. Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just moody and just sad and miserable. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
What about you, Laura?
No,
I know the answer to this.
I know the damn answer to this. Every time I try and do the 1 hour sleep, I am a grouch. Mm. I am coming through with makeup all over my face, looking like Monica from Friends. But yeah, so it's straight through for me. What about you, Lau?
It's neither. To be honest, I'm terrible either way. I'm no sleep, so I can't function without sleep. I can't function with sleep. I'm just either out or not. That's kind of how I am, and not in a great way. But you know, it is how it is. Let's start out.
All right, we're going to do quick fire, guys. This is the quick fire section that we're going to do every week with all of our DJs, just to find out a little bit more about them. So, your go-to song that will pack out the dance floor.
Pump the jam.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Every time it works.
Should we go back and forth? Do you want to do one now? Or?
No. Oh. I mean, I'd just go ahead. Okay. I was just kind of pumping.
All right. I'll go straight through them all really quickly. Grime or drum and bass?
Drum and bass.
All right. Funniest DM you've ever received?
From a girl.
Oh, it could be from a guy. No. It can be from anyone.
Okay, I want to know from a girl.
The funniest DM I've ever received from a guy was... it's this like Italian looking really muscly guy, and he sent me a picture of a smile and a thumbs up.
And his pee-pee?
No, not yet. So I sent a thumbs up back, and then he sends like a completely naked picture of himself with a really big cheesy grin.
Do you know what? I knew the pee-pee was going to come in, because that's what the DMs are for.
You're calling it the pee-pee.
The pee-pee, because I
I'm calling it the pee-pee.
Yeah, because I was trying to make it sound cuter than the whole, like...
Babe, it's dick. And you can say it. It's our podcast.
Do you know what? I was still trying to be a good girl.
Okay. All right. My question is, since we're talking about DMs, which DMs, and we're not going to get in trouble here, but which DMs have you completely slid into? As in, like, no hesitation, someone famous? What have you written?
What, like, who have I just slid into? Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
I'm a bit shy. I can't really handle that.
So just to say, we met Bluey at the box 10 years ago when we were kids, all of us.
And he wasn't so shy.
And he wasn't so shy either.
So, guys, on this podcast, we will call out the lies, too.
Get loose.
on one reality TV show, what would it be?
I think it would have to be Love Island because it's so popular right now.
Oh, yeah.
But mainly because I find that shit so funny. Like, I could see myself going in that place and just causing, like, trouble. Like, I would love to be a troublemaker in an environment like that. I'll be such
Love
a
Love Island, if you are looking for contestants next year, we have your troublemaker with blue hair.
I would never go in there, but I would love to.
To find your next baby mama.
Question? Okay. Right, that's enough of the quick fire now. I think what we want to get into is some of your experiences as a DJ. I want to know how you got into DJing to begin with and what you would advise anyone that is getting into DJing as well.
So I started when I was like, I must have been about 14 years old. And my dad was nice enough to buy me some decks because I did really well in school. So his way of controlling me was like, do your homework. Do well in school and I'll give you, you know, whatever it is you want. So once a year, I would get a big gift if, like, my year had gone well. And I got a guitar, I got a keyboard. And the last gift was, some CDJs, some decks. And I listened to DJ EZ and I basically downloaded, like, I grabbed all of the tracks from his mix, Pure Garage. And I listened to how he mixed one into the other and I just copied it. Mm-hmm. So initially, I didn't really have anyone to teach me. So I just literally fiddled around with the equipment until I could understand it, until it made sense, which was a very long process. But I was putting in at the time like 2 hours a day, 7 days a week for like the first year and a half. I was just constantly rehearsing. And one of my friends got vinyl decks like a few months later, and I went to his house and he taught me how to mix using vinyl. So that was like my process. I just went really hard at the beginning with the rehearsing, and when I was about 16 years old, I entered this competition at Ministry of Sound. It was called NUS ENTS. It was like basically for all college students. I just started college and I lied about my age and I said I was 18 so that I could enter the competition because it was for over 18s only. And I ended up winning the competition. So I won the London round and I got through to the finals, and it was like London versus Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, so all the major cities. And I didn't end up winning the final at Ministry, but I got to play at Ministry when I was like 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I missed.
Don't out them now because I think that's illegal.
Well, I was. They found out about my age and I had to be escorted by an adult. So my big brother came with me.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Cool.
Yeah,
that's
but cool. I ended up messing up with the equipment. I had some technical difficulty, and that like was a really painful lesson for me at the time, because creatively, like, I could have easily won, and the judges actually said to me afterwards, you should have won that, but you know, next time you need to have your technical stuff on point. And that kind of taught me the importance of technical stuff. So now I'm like obsessed with knowing technically how to do everything. Like, I can literally put a whole set together by myself.
Because there is the whole technical side of it is where a lot of the difficulty comes in. You know, you can have your set prepped and everything, but not knowing what is set up when you get to a space, anything can go wrong.
Yeah, because shit goes wrong. Shit goes wrong all the time. Even just now, like in Malta a couple nights ago when I was performing, one of the decks just stopped working mid-set.
So you were DJing through one deck?
Well, we had four. Okay. And I was, because I like to mix across all four, and I was mixing across all four, and one stopped working, went into an emergency loop, and then, you know, another deck stopped working. Mm-hmm. So I went from four to two, which will also affect how you're going to mix and what special effects you can do. So it was a bit like daunting and crazy, but that's just what happens. Like, things just go wrong.
But you're prepared for all that now.
Yeah, mentally, you have to just always know your shit when it comes to the equipment, because it's very technical.
I find it really interesting how you started out, because we obviously see you on stage and all that, but the work that it actually takes and the years of crafting, that is something that the audience often doesn't see.
Doesn't see.
And I find that really inspiring. Is that something that you would recommend to DJs starting out, is learn your craft?
Exactly. The main thing is a lot of DJs, I get a lot of DMs from a lot of DJs just saying, you know, can you give me any advice? I'm just starting out. And it's like, the most important thing is just to be good at your craft and master that. Like, nothing else comes above that.
And do you find now with the CDJs being so much more advanced in how you can kind of prep your sets that the skill level that you had to learn when you were growing up has slightly lessened, or do you think it's just differed?
The skill level that you now require to enter is certainly lower. However, that doesn't make much of a difference because the competition is higher.
Yeah.
And there's lots more people doing it. And, you know, yeah, the CDJs are now a lot more technical, which makes things in some ways easier, but it also makes things worse because it's more complicated now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more simple before. You know, the CDJs that I had and the vinyls that I used to use, there was literally like three or four things that you press and that's it. Now there's like 50.
Yeah. So I would like to know if Fat Tony came out with a book called I Don't Take Any Requests.
Yeah.
Do you take requests?
Definitely not.
Yep, I knew that. And what is one of your pet peeves that so obviously when you do a set, often you know, you're the third, fourth, you're the main, the main artist.
Yeah.
What is a pet peeve that a DJ does before?
What really gets on my nerves from the other DJs or from the crowd?
Well, do you know what? Both from the DJ and from the crowd.
Okay, so from the crowd, I would say literally like people that try to come into the DJ booth and like disturb your set and talk to you and stuff whilst you're performing. That's really, I hate
guilty.
It. Like, I hate it. It's so bad.
That's literally how I met you.
I mean, to be fair with you, when I met you, I was doing a 5-hour set and it was open format in a club. So, you know, it was okay. You know,
you were cool.
Yeah, and you wasn't annoying. You was being very polite and you was choosing your moments when to speak to me. So I think you were paying attention to when I wasn't mixing.
She was not paying attention to shit. I love you for saying that, but she was not.
But then like some people literally just come into the booth and they'll just like ask for a picture, for an Insta follow or whatever, and it's just like stuff that could be done afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like let me have my little 1 hour moment of focus and concentration because you know I'm performing right now.
Now, does this go for everyone, or if they're really cute and petite?
Look, if they're cute and petite, then I'll just, you know, you can quickly take my number or whatever and just get the hell out of there. Do you know what I mean?
There's always an exception.
Exactly.
So crowd-wise, what's some of the annoying things that are crowd-wise?
DJ-wise.
Oh, okay, that's crowd-wise and DJ-wise.
So I'd say DJ-wise, sometimes I hope this doesn't offend anyone. But sometimes DJs also like to come in the booth and hang out whilst you're playing your set, and that can be quite distracting because the DJ that wants to hang out with you, if they're another DJ, you probably want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
So it's not like a stranger, it's like one of your actual friends.
Mm.
But
makes
then
sense, actually.
But then they'll distract you because like you actually want to talk to them, so you really
do you
get
feel
distracted.
Like they're looking at your set as well, being like, what's he doing? Hey, yeah. Oh, he has this pink button on.
Now, you know what, I don't even mind if people look at my set, like, because it's like you're supposed to share music anyway, so like
but I'm not playing, everyone does. I found that DJs get really really angry if people are even like shazamming the mix that they've like the remix they've got on and
yeah
stuff.
I think that's really silly because me personally, the way I operate is you can't shazam my set because like 80% of the material I play is unreleased, either produced by myself or one of my mates.
Okay.
So, you know, this song's not going to be out for 6 months to a year anyway. So good luck.
Right.
Shazam away.
I am going to your hard drive.
That's what I was going to say. You hold him down and I'll get his hard drive.
Literally, Bluey, let's go for drinks.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you, Bluey, for coming in. I know you flew in last night. I know you've got a lot on this summer. Are you going back to Ibiza? Are you allowed to talk about
definitely.
It yet?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't have my exact dates, but from July, I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there, right? Okay. Yeah.
I want to go into a little bit more of the people that he's toured with before as well, because I want to find out some nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah.
True that he has a harem.
I didn't even know that.
What's that?
That's like seven brides.
He's
kind
got
of
a
thing.
Lot of brides.
He's got three wives.
He's got three. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Is it polygamous?
I don't know what the word is.
Well, he's Muslim, so
he's allowed to. I just didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool. I want to find out about Akon World. And it's got its own currency and everything.
I don't know too much about it, but I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I've only seen a few bits online, and we always used to talk about it. He used to say that he's going to do working on this project, so I know that it's real and it's definitely happening, and he's got his own currency.
Does he go to his own shop to pay with his own currency? Like, how does this work?
Well, to buy his own condoms? There's a whole city that he's creating in Africa called Akon World.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
No, it's actually a thing. Louis might be able to explain it better than me, but it's really interesting because it is land that he's purchased, that he's got jurisdiction over, that he's creating his own currency and ways for, I guess, people to make money within his motherland, and so much more to it. So I was actually just asking you a bit about it, because I'm very limited in my knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know too much, actually. Unfortunately, I don't know too much.
You've never been invited.
Not yet.
No. Not yet.
But I better get the invite.
Do you need a fourth and fifth Kareem?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get some pluses. As long as you don't come and talk to me whilst I'm DJing, it's fine.
Never again. Listen.
Do you know what I'm going to do to film it now?
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, DJ's getting annoyed in the booth. That's our next thing.
Sorry, yeah.
And also, I remember ages ago when you were talking about touring with him, you mentioned he's a big fan of chess.
Yes. Me and Akon both love chess. Yeah, one time we played chess before a show, and I don't know if he was stressed out about something or whatever, but he just wasn't he wasn't ready to go and perform yet. And he's like, "Let's play a chess game, you know, so they can take like half an hour, and then we'll go to the festival, whatever." And we ended up sitting there for 3.5 hours because he's really good at chess, and so am I. So we were battling. And at first, I was like, let me just let him win so I can get to the show.
I was about to say, is it a bad thing if you win then? Before?
Well, I was going to let him win. And then, I don't know, like, he just, he looked me in the eye and he was like, make sure you're playing, like, properly.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a man-to-man respect thing, like, you know, if you don't play this game properly, I'm not going to respect you, bro. Like,
okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to whoop your ass then, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to... So we just were really, like, we were really, no, we were, we had an intense game, and the promoter walked in, and the promoter was like, guys, we're like running really late. We need to go. And he's like, I'm not leaving until the game is done. Silence. And like, I've never seen him get so serious like that. He's normally,
does he talk smoothly?
Yeah. He's really calm and smooth. Okay. But I've never seen him like tell anyone off.
He doesn't drink or
he doesn't drink or smoke or he doesn't do anything like that. He's super cool and super chill.
Is he completely sober?
Completely sober at all times.
Wow. Cause he does amazing shows.
But that's part of the reason why, cause he's so healthy, you know, he's got his energy's just so
incredible.
Like when it comes to doing the shows, he preserves all of his energy for the show. Like,
so, wait, who won the game?
He won. Yeah. It was tight though. Yeah. There was one or two points just before he won where I was about to win. And like when he won, I really thought I was going to win, and I was actually really upset.
Well, at least he knows he won for real as well.
Yeah. He definitely won for real.
Like loads of little promoters running around with a headset.
But then we went and did an amazing show after that. His manager was like, yo, why didn't you just let him fucking win? And I was like, well, I wanted to play.
Yeah.
But we were seriously late for the festival, but they figured it out. Like, other people went on, you know. Yeah. Like, the
I'm
people...
sure the superstar being late isn't a new thing at a festival. Yeah.
Exactly. They can wait. Yeah. Fine.
I just love that you two play chess in the back. That's something that is an image I will never forget in my life.
Yeah, the only time he actually ever posted me on Instagram as well. So he's one of his wives took a picture.
Guys, I can't.
She's so enjoyable.
He's got three. Well, but yeah,
there's room. Babe.
One of them took a picture, and the next day he posted it, and it was just a nice little picture of me and him playing chess together. I think he's still on his gram somewhere. But
did your following go up, babes?
Did I follow him?
No, did
your
following go up?
I got about 500 followers every couple of hours for like four
days.
It was quite silly.
Really?
But it was annoying Because for about a week, my timeline was just like random person. This person's followed you. That person's followed you. Yeah, that person's followed you. This DM, and I was just like, okay, I can't use my Instagram for now. I had to literally wait for it to slow down.
Yeah. Like, it was right. Crazy. So talking about amazing shows that you've done, I wanted to ask about the weirdest or funnest after party that has resulted from one of these shows.
I think the funnest after party ever is I did a closing party with Solomon in Ibiza in 2018 or something like that. About 4 years ago.
So we don't get invited to any of the good
stuff. Do you not even get a drink at the box?
Yeah, you guys are like, always busy. You guys are always busy.
We are not. I'm never too busy for a party with Solomon.
Solomon or being Akon's wifey. I'm available.
We will drop anything for that, really.
So I was just a warm-up DJ. At this point, I only got like a plus one or something like that. So, you know, I wasn't treated like anyone special at all.
Dude, but
I was just gassed to, you know, be DJing at Solomon's party.
Cool, by the way.
Yeah, he's super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
DJed at the after party, or no, you DJed at the show?
I DJed at the, well, it was a villa party.
Okay.
It was a closing party for Ibiza. So we had about 2,000 people there, and then the police came, Spanish police came and closed it down because apparently there was too much noise pollution.
In Ibiza.
No, but that actually is a really common thing with the noise pollution thing.
Yeah, they've got, if you're not a club, apparently there's some rules. Yeah. But then the owner of the villa just happened to have a club underneath the villa. So so we crammed like, I think we kicked out like half of the people, and then we crammed like 1,000 people into like a 250 capacity
club. That sounds like the club. Best part.
And the sweat was dripping off the ceiling because everyone was like just crammed in there, and like the security couldn't even control everyone because everyone was like, no, we're going in. Like, everyone wanted to be in there, and it was just such a vibe.
That sounds absolutely incredible.
It was a 24-hour party.
That sounds absolutely incredible. If this kind of party should hypothetically happen this summer,
yes,
Lara and I...
We're available. I am available to party with Solomon. I'm available for villa parties. Right, so we're coming to the end of the show now, and I wanted to ask what advice you would give your younger self.
That's a good question. I have a lot of advice for my younger self.
Please, we have all the time in the world. That's actually really interesting.
So the advice I would give for my younger self is, firstly, don't worry too much about anything, because whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and what's meant to be is always going to be. I spent a lot of time worrying and stressing out when I was younger about my career and about how things are going to work out and if, how, when, what. And the fact of the matter is, you just never know. So all you have to do is your best and leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's very fair.
Yeah.
And so true, actually. But you don't realize it until you're much older. Right.
You spend so much time panicking and overthinking and not sleeping. You know, I remember when I first got asked to play for Akon, and they literally put me on a business class flight from Heathrow Airport, and they were like, we're flying you to Cannes. They gave me like 24 hours notice. It was all very last minute, and I was like, you know, completely like, whoa, you know. And I got there, and when I got to the airport, there was a plane crash at Heathrow. It didn't crash. There's just something happened with the wheel, and there was some debris on the runway, and it caused like a big... It was like a very small problem that caused a big problem. So they just cancelled all the flights for the day. So I'm on the phone to his manager. I'm like, bro, I'm so sorry, but like, I don't think I'm going to be able to come. And his manager's like, this was your opportunity.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, but what can I do?
Yeah, exactly.
So his manager's like, okay, I'm going to try and get you a private jet. I'll call you back in 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, as if I'm going to get a private jet. And then he calls me back and he's like, bro, there's no private jets available. There's no more flights available. We've tried to, like... We tried so many ways to get you here for the show, and it's just not happening. He's like, I'm sorry, bro. Like this is your opportunity. You're gone, but...
Your life is over.
We tried for you, bro. Yeah. And then I called my friend that worked at a travel agent, and she was on the phone to me, and she's like, there's a flight that's just become available at Gatwick. Get down to Gatwick now.
From Heathrow.
Yeah, so she was like, drive from Heathrow to Gatwick. So obviously she was like, somebody must have had the decency to cancel their flight.
Decency.
You know?
That's a decency.
Because sometimes when you're not going to turn up for a flight, you just don't turn up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But somebody actually called in and said, I'm not coming, which is rare. So I ended up getting that one seat, and then I was able to do my show. So it's like, whatever's going to be, will be. Like, even if some magic needs to happen, awesome. It will happen, right?
I hear that.
Thank you for telling us that, because that is actually so true. If it was meant to be, it was meant to be in your case.
Yeah.
And even if it hadn't, you would still be here and still have your amazing career, right?
Yeah, somehow, like, on another path.
Right, before we have to wrap up, I know you've got some amazing things coming up. You've got releases. Bluey's also a producer as well, so he makes his own music, as he was mentioning before. And you've got some really cool shows coming up, so plug away.
Yeah, I've got, so obviously I'm going to be doing Higher Ibiza a few times this summer. I've got Minisher Sound September the 3rd with some really big names. And I've got this Sunday I've got Abode at 338. Mm-hmm. I've got Abode in a Park on August the 14th, which is at Frinsbury Park. It's going to be a really exciting festival.
Definitely.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but I should be doing a really big venue. I'm not allowed to say the name of it, but it begins with P and it fits about 7,000 people in it in London. So that's not confirmed yet, but that's for winter. So yeah, I've got some exciting stuff.
Right. I have a feeling this is going to happen.
And obviously guest passes for us.
Of course.
We won't be talking to you at all ever again.
Yeah.
Bluey, a massive, literally heartfelt thank you, because you did this as a favor. I know And I know you're very busy and you're very tired and you've got family and friends, and it's deeply appreciated that you come and you talk to us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Really appreciate it. And we love you and we hope that you come back. And also, just don't leave us off the guest list like every fucking time.
Exactly, I completely agree. Love you so much, Blue. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.